This podcast is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Your website visitors, prospects, and customers are wary of websites and online businesses that aren't what they claim to be, and they're worried that their personal and financial information might fall into the wrong hands. You can turn your visitors' concerns into a competitive advantage with the ironclad protection of a GoDaddy.com secure certificate. Just go to GoDaddy.com and enter your code POD25. That's P-O-D and the number 25 when you check out. That'll save you an additional 10%. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com today. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to
Internet Marketing Unwrapped. Wrapped.
Now, here's Heather Vail.
Welcome to Internet Marketing Unwrapped, the world's first live teleshow, part teleseminar, part talk show, found online at internetmarketingunwrapped.com. I'm your host, Heather Vail, and every week I interview the Internet's top experts live to unwrap their most guarded secrets and help you unwrap your own potential for online superstardom and super wealth. If you'd like to ask a question at any point during the call, just press 1-1 on your telephone keypad and listen for your cue to ask your question. This week's guest is possibly the most famous super affiliate and a guru that all the other super affiliates on the internet look up to, author of the Super Affiliate Handbook, Roslyn Gardner. Roslyn began her affiliate marketing career with no business experience and quickly climbed to earning over $400,000 a year selling other people's stuff. Her book is now considered mandatory reading for anyone starting out in the affiliate marketing game because it's well-written, fun to read, and packed with easy-to-follow, solid, and valuable advice without the hype. Since she started out just like you, she knows what it's like to be a beginner, and she knows how to get to the next level, and the level after that. She's also willing to share how to do it, so take lots of notes and get ready for an information-packed hour. Roslyn, thank you so much for being here today on Internet Marketing Unwrapped.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I'm looking forward to it.
How exactly did you first get started with affiliate marketing?
Well, I saw a banner ad. Isn't that how we all started on the internet, working on the internet? I saw a banner ad that said webmasters make money, and because I had a website together, I figured I was a webmaster, and it wasn't much of a website, let me tell you. It was like 3 pages. And it was very, very crude. It was actually quite ugly, isn't it? but anyway, it said webmasters make money. I figured I was a webmaster, and I always like to make money. So I clicked through the banner, and I ended up at the now defunct, unfortunately, one and only dating service network. And what they were doing was selling online dating services. And because I had a little bit of experience in online chat rooms, and I won't tell you why, I decided that, this dating service concept sounds like a really, really good idea, probably better than hanging out in chat rooms where anybody can just, whisk you away to a private room. I thought that, that giving people the option to choose or to meet other people on the basis of their interests and geographic location and ethnicity, if that was a concern, or religion, whatever have you, was a better option than these internet chat rooms. So anyway, I looked further into it, and I discovered that it was something called affiliate marketing, and that basically every time I would sell a membership, I would make a commission selling their products. So I thought, cool, I could probably sell this, and so the next day, basically, I bought a domain and put up a one-page website that sold their product, and as soon as the site was listed at Yahoo, which back in those days didn't take long and was free, I made a sale, and I got a check that month for $10.99, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So most of the listeners have probably signed up as an affiliate to something, but maybe not made money with it yet. In fact, it's usually a small percentage of affiliates who make the vast majority of sales. So what exactly does it take to become a super affiliate?
I think the essential ingredient is always putting the customer first. Is it is it in their best interest to be promoting this product? And is this something that you're really interested in? Is this something that you really believe in? I think you really need to establish credibility and trust with your audience before you start, you know, throwing out a lot of products up, and you never really want to do that. So I think that basically relationships, it's always all about relationships. It always comes back down to that, because as soon as you do something where people don't, you know, they don't like what you said, or they don't, you offer a product that doesn't work for them as the way it was touted, they're going to drop off your list and drop off your radar, and you make less sales that way. So always building up those relationships is probably the most important thing. And that's a mistake that I see lots of marketers making.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I know that a lot of us start out just sticking a bunch of banners and links on a web page and just waiting for the money to come, and of course it doesn't. So you're talking about building relationships, but how exactly can someone just starting out set up their website in a way that they can start to build those relationships?
Well, it's about producing content, so it doesn't matter what you're selling. Let's say that you are a single mom, or a stay-at-home mom, or something like that, and you've decided that you want to offer kids products, you know, something that you're familiar with. So you would start with actually talking about, you know, always start with the article, with the content. Maybe you're a jogger as well, so you've got one of those strollers that you push a kid with in, and you jog at the same time. So an honest discussion about the benefits and the drawbacks, because you always want to have a balanced approach to everything, whether it's an article or whether it's an actual product review. And so having the article, which then leads to the individual product reviews for different products, like give people choices. You don't want to only recommend one product. You want to say, okay, I've tried this. Like, I tried A, B, and C before I finally decided on C, but B product would probably really work well for somebody that, you know, and always give them the option and why.
Okay, so you're comparing a few products, saying what you like about some, what you don't like about others. Should you be saying what you don't like about the ones that you're also promoting with your affiliate link?
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, there is no perfect product out there. There's always some improvement that can be made to any product out there. So absolutely, be honest and say, you know, it was really good on the flat, but as soon as I started going up the hill, it just seemed to have a little bit more resistance than I expected, or I have no idea. I don't have kids. I never push the stroller. probably not the best example. But whatever, you know, there may be something with a turning radius on a stroller. I have no idea. But if there is something that you didn't like about it, absolutely you should mention it. Look at, you know, go into Consumer Reports, any site that offers Consumer Reports, or allows consumers to discuss products, and take a look and see what they say. That'll give you a really good idea. Maybe you can't afford to buy every treadmill on the market, or go out and try every treadmill on the market. So go out there and see what, you know, people are saying about different things, and you know, maybe there's something consistently wrong with a particular treadmill. Then I think it's a valid thing to add to your review.
So does the honesty actually help convert sales, even if you're saying that there's something I don't exactly like about this product, but I like all these other things about it? Do you think people are more likely to buy that product than if you just give a glowing review that doesn't sound so real?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. A merchant is the one that you expect to say, you know, everything is 100% hunky-dory with their product. It's up to reviewers or anybody who is promoting a product, especially as an affiliate marketer, to offer that balance. And I think that's where our value really, really comes in. You know, and offering that choice, just, you know, saying you can, there's lots of affiliates that do price comparisons, if you will. And so maybe you can get treadmill A at such and such a site for, you know, $20 less than you can at here. However, this place offers free shipping. point those things out, that's valuable information for your customer.
Okay.
Then leave the decision up to them, of course.
Right. Now, when you're talking about content, I know that a lot of affiliates are putting up just what they call mini sites, I guess, with just a little bit of content comparing one or two products. And then there's other affiliates who are doing a big content site with lots of stuff to look at. Which do you think is better for making more sales?
I prefer the large content sites. I know that I'm probably in the minority, but let me tell you, it has worked for me like a charm. And for several different reasons, because with a big content site, you're constantly contributing your own articles. Like, I do most of my own writing, and that helps to further the relationship that you develop with your audience, because every time I write an article, I also, you know, condense it into a snippet that I put into my autoresponder. I broadcast that out to my subscribers, bring them back to the site to look at the full article. That has the effect of increasing your search engine rankings, because the more people that come back to your site or that visit your site, and if they stick around to take a look at a number of different things, and if you've got a little mini site, there's not a lot to look at, so stickiness has an effect on your rankings as well. So yeah, I just really prefer the big content site that, you know, people will remember. I mean, if you've got a lot to look at and you offer a lot of different aspects to the site, maybe you've got a blog, maybe you've got a forum, maybe you do regular polling once a week, you know, fun surveys that you offer people, there's a lot of interactivity there or community that you've created, and, you know, with a popular domain name, it's a place that people are going to remember and therefore come back to, and that's really what you want, because it takes a lot of energy to get somebody to your site in the first place. So you don't want to have to keep expending that kind of energy to always bring new people. What you want to do is create, visitors with whom you have a relationship and who are loyal to your site as opposed to, somebody else's affiliate site.
Do you do that through just making your site somewhere that they want to come back and keep visiting, or is it better to capture their emails and develop them into a mailing list?
Oh, well, that's essential. I do consulting as well, and that is usually the very first thing that I notice about somebody's site, whether it's on the homepage or any other page. I think that there should be an email form or an email capture form on every single page of the site in the same place, so that there is always an opportunity. Maybe somebody gets to the third or fourth page and they finally decide that, boy, there's really a lot of value here. You know, I would be interested in signing up for that, for her newsletter or his newsletter or whatever, because, you know, I'd like to hear more about what this person has to say. You don't always get that on the first page. So absolutely critical, is to have, your autoresponder series. I generally recommend AWeber. I've been using them for years and, have maintained my list with them. They've never dropped a single subscriber on me yet, which has been absolutely wonderful. And it's so easy to use.
Yeah, just as a point to note there, I've interviewed a lot of internet marketers about doing opt-in lists, and I'd say over 90% of them do recommend AWeber. So for anyone just starting out, if you want to do your first autoresponder, I think that's the way to go. Now, let's go back to, you were talking about, you know, writing your articles, writing your reviews. How important is it to be a good writer in order to also be a good affiliate?
It's not critical. I mean, it's simple enough to buy PLR, private label right articles, and to do some revisions to them to make them unique and make them your own. I do think, however, that if you want to build a relationship with your audience, because that is what you are building, then it's really important to get your personality across, and the only way to do that is to communicate. And, you know, we call it writing, but it's communicating. And I write pretty much exactly like I talk. So if you can, I think I write better than I talk most of the time. It's easy to make myself understood through writing. But I mean, if you can tell somebody a story, if you can tell somebody why you like a product, why you don't like a product, if you can tell somebody about a particular subject, which is, you know, probably the theme related to your site, if you can talk about it, you can write about it. And it, you know, it may take some time, and some practice. I know that I think my writing has improved over the years, and I've been doing this for a while, but I wasn't a writer when I started this out. I just started talking about, something that I thought was worthwhile. And actually my first site was a gardening site. It was a little seed exchange site. So, and it was something that I was very interested in and still very interested in. So, you know, when something has captured your interest that way, it's easy to talk about it. You know, that's another thing is that I think people should choose, niches in which they are hopefully passionate. You know, it just makes the work so much easier, especially when you're, you know, unfamiliar perhaps with, the technical aspects of doing business on the web, and that takes a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit of a learning curve to learn how to put a website together or, and all of that other stuff. So when you don't have to worry about also learning about a topic, and producing product reviews for products that you are unfamiliar with, you know, which then, you know, you don't have a whole lot of credibility either in promoting those products. It really is so much easier when you are super interested in the topic that you're talking about on your website.
Yeah, a lot of people say that actually, that you have to have that passion in order to continue. You might be able to do something for a few weeks, but if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to be able to continue long term. But then at the same time, I think a lot of people might be passionate about something that may not prove to be a profitable niche or a niche where there's lots of stuff they can sell as an affiliate. So how do they find that balance of something that they love but something that is potentially profitable as well?
Then you need to broaden the niche. You know, if you are, I keep pitching things that I'm not really that familiar with to use as examples. I was going to say, if you're a bass fisherman or a fly fisherman, maybe what you want to do is talk about all aspects of, you know, or more aspects of fishing, just broaden it out a bit. Or, you know, maybe you tie flies, maybe you want to incorporate fishing into that, the fly tying thing, right? And talk about that as well. And what I find is that once you start doing research and doing broadening your topic, that there is no end, absolutely no end to how wide you can go on something. I'm certainly finding that with, you know, even doing a webmaster, a site for webmasters, it's not just about, you know, how to build a website or how to sell online or whatever. It goes deeper than that. You know, we end up discussing motivation, and kind of what we're talking about here, and being inspired and keeping and staying inspired. There's so many things that apply to so many people. I mean, basically, we're all just human beings and basic. You know, we're pretty basic in our wants, needs, desires. So it's easy enough to connect with people on that level if you think about them as people with an interest.
Okay, so besides passion for the topic and the ability to communicate about the topic, what exactly do we need to get started as an affiliate, both in terms of the mindset, but also the hardcore tools that we need to get started?
The hardcore tools, well, it's really interesting because right after you and I speak, I'm doing a conference call with Onyx Singhal of Affiliate Classroom. And he and I are starting a new course called blogclassroom.com. And man, I tell you, for the last couple of years, as an affiliate, I have thought, you know, that would probably be the way I would recommend going, is just start a blog, because it is so easy. And especially with using WordPress, if you've got a web host that offers a cPanel as their host, whatever, it's so easy to install. I mean, it takes me a minute. It might take a newbie 3 minutes. It's just absolutely insane how easy this is. And, you know, you can be posting like crazy in the background. Nobody's ever going to see it until it looks just right. The learning curve is so shallow. It's absolutely incredibly easy. It's amazing. You want to install an image, You know, you upload it to your server, which is, you know, using FTP, that's not so hard, or you can even do it through the cPanel interface at your host. And it is just, let me say, stupidly simple. It's just awesome. Anybody can start a blog. So that, you know, when it comes to tools, it's gotten so much simpler compared to with what I did, you know, what was it, 8 years ago, and almost 9 years ago now, we were writing HTML on Notepad. There were no HTML editors to work with. It was just like you were hand-coding pages, and it was long, tedious work. Of course, it helped us to get to know HTML probably a whole lot better, but you don't need to now. You really just don't need to.
Yeah, actually, last week, Yannick Silver was on the show, and he said he's a techno dunce and doesn't know anything about HTML, so there you go.
that's right. Yannick has said that. And you don't have to. I'm a techno non-geek myself. I don't know a whole lot. Like, I know a little bit about HTML. I can do really, really basic pages. I can morph a header together from, you know, some digital photographs or something that I've taken. But when it comes to any sort of script or whatever, I just go to Elance. You know, like in some cases it costs as little as $10 to have a script installed. It's just, it's so simple to get things together. And of course there's, you know, website packages, there are templates that you can buy very, very inexpensively. So it doesn't have to cost a lot. It doesn't have to take a whole lot of learning to get, you know, to get a site together nowadays.
So if anyone listening doesn't know Elance, it's elance.com. And you just go in and post what you want, and then you have people saying, yeah, I'll do it for you.
Yeah.
A couple of bucks.
Well, yeah. Sometimes a little more, sometimes a little less. It all depends on what you're asking for.
Yeah, well, apparently you can get some pretty good deals if they start bidding against each other. And I'll do it for $2. I'm exaggerating, of course. All right, so to get started as an affiliate marketer, we need, obviously, a computer. We need either a website and or a blog. Anything else that we need to get started?
Good question. A little bit of time. It definitely requires an investment of time on a regular basis if you want to, you know, stay current on what it is that you learn. You know, it's hard to put in an hour on Saturday and not do anything again until next Saturday. And in terms of tools, what do I have open on my computer at the moment? I'm just thinking, I have my HTML editor, I have my FTP client, I've got my email client open, of course. That is essential. You want to stay in touch with all your merchant partners. You know what I find is one of my, well, I've got probably three favorite, tools that you might be surprised about. One is a spreadsheet. Because I keep everything, like in a huge file. I keep, notations about the income that I make and, all of my affiliate partnerships. Like, I just list the name and the URL that I'm going to be promoting. I have the URL as a link to the affiliate interface, my login ID, my password, the affiliate manager's name, telephone number, that sort of thing. If I need to contact them, I've got his email or her email address. It's all there in one file. I've got services, like my Google AdWords account is in, you know, it's on a slightly different file. So if you've got a media account or a Google AdWords or MSN or whatever, that should be all on another sheet. But you can keep it, you know, like different worksheets in the same file. So, and that thing is open on my desk all day long, and I'm constantly referring to it. The next thing that I really like is something that I haven't had for too long, and that is my Microsoft fingerprint reader. It's wonderful. It's completely wonderful. You just tell it once what the password is, and then forever after you can just, you know, touch, every time you get to a login screen, you just touch it and go. That's very handy. And the other thing that I absolutely love is a little program called Perfect Keyboard Pro. And I've been bugging them for the affiliate information forever because so far I can't sell this because he's just associated with a company that makes it really, really difficult for affiliates to join. But anyway, what it is a macro generating program. So for all of those URLs that I use on a really regular basis, or my email signature, or, you know, just anything that you type over and over and over again. I just throw that all into a macro, and, you know, I've got probably 100 different ones. And what you do is you save it, and with a couple of keystrokes, like a slash, well, for example, slash NP on, if I type that into my keyboard, it immediately takes me to my netprofitstoday.com site. It just fills the whole thing out, and I'm there. Or if I, you know, type slash blog, I'm at my blog, slash forum, I'm at my forum. It's just so nice.
Okay, so once they're ready to go and they have all the essential tools to get started, which isn't much, how would someone go about finding affiliate programs that are in the niche that they want to promote?
Well, I usually recommend that people check out Commission Junction, which is at cj.com, or Linkshare, which is at linkshare.com. Those are probably the two biggest affiliate networks on the web. And that what happens with a network is they put affiliates and merchants together, and they provide the merchants with the software to be able to run their affiliate programs, and Commission Junction therefore provides all the tracking, the statistical tracking to affiliates, which is really nice for affiliates because you know that it's being properly tracked. When you sign up with an independent merchant, unless that merchant is really well established and really well known, if they're running their own proprietary software on their own site, sometimes you're not too sure whether or not their tracking is as good as it should be. And that's one thing you don't want them to be doing, is dropping sales. So with big networks, you know that that's never going to be an issue. And not only that, but they have thousands of merchants and in so many different categories that it makes it really, really easy to find, you know, different merchants within a particular category. And also the very biggest merchants on the net tend to go to those networks. It is costly for a merchant to join up and to stay part of that program, so you know that they've got money in the bank and that they're going to be able to pay you. That's another good reason to go to cj.com. And so yeah, you get in there and you'll have to fill out, an application, but don't worry if you don't have a site just yet. You do not need to have a site to join Commission Junction. What it will ask you is for a URL or a newsletter. And so what I suggest when you, if you don't have a site, is just plug in a newsletter name. And that way they'll let you in. And as soon as you're in, you can start, looking around and finding out which merchants are, promoting within your category and see which products they're offering and see how much to pay you, which is always good.
Yeah. What else should we be looking for in the program in order to know if it's a good program, if it's a product that converts well, how often they pay out, and that kind of thing?
Well, yeah, each merchant within the Commission Junction interface has a separate page on which they detail their commission particulars. And so yes, it's very important to take a look at all of those aspects. One of the most important aspects is to check the duration of the cookie. A cookie is a little text file that is placed on a server computer. So let's say that they've come to your site, they've clicked on your affiliate link, which is coded with your affiliate ID, which helps the merchant track sales. And so they click on that, and they arrive at the merchant site, and what happens is the cookie is set on their computer. There's no harm done with cookies. It's just that it keeps track. And so what happens is that will last for as long as it's set to last. So let's say that you're partnered with Starbucks and their cookies are set to last for 45 days. If that visitor doesn't make a purchase at the Starbucks store today or tomorrow or next week, and nobody else clicks or they don't go to another site and replace your cookie with some other affiliate's cookie, they can make a purchase from the Starbucks store up to 45 days later, and you will still get credit for that sale. So you want long-lasting cookies.
What about things like recurring commissions or commissions on an upsell if they buy an upsell?
That's why I like the dating service industry the dating industry particularly, because many of the merchants do in fact provide recurring commissions. And what we mean by that is that if somebody buys a dating service membership at, say, Match.com through my site, and if Match.com actually still did offer recurring commissions, what would happen is I would get paid, say, 50% of the membership. So let's say that it was, you know, 1 month membership at $25. I would get paid $12.50 for the first month. If that visitor continued to remain a member for the next 4 months or the next 6 months, and Match.com offered recurring commission, I would get paid $12.50 a month for every month that that member or that person remained a member. And each merchant will have different variations on the theme. Some merchants will offer 100% for the first month and nothing thereafter. They may actually offer more than 100% of the sale. So if, you know, the person makes a purchase for $25, they may actually pay you $35, but they won't pay you anything after that. They may pay 50% on the first month and then 25% for every month after that. So what you want to do is, of course, get, the highest, 50% all the way across the board is always the one that I always have to look for.
What are the benefits of a two-tier affiliate program?
Not significant, I have to be honest. What a two-tier affiliate program is as an affiliate, if another affiliate joins that merchant's affiliate program through your link, you may or you will earn a commission or you may earn a lead. They may pay you, like $10 for every affiliate that joins under you. That would be very nice if that were the case, but it's not usually the case. What normally happens is that you will earn a percentage of that affiliate's sales. In the past, it was worthwhile when there were fewer affiliates to try to recruit affiliates to join a program under you. When there were lots and lots and lots of affiliates joining programs all over the place. What happens is most affiliates never really pursue a program. They join a program and they may only promote it once. They may never promote it. So it's not worth your time to actively recruit. It's far more worthwhile to spend your time marketing. And if somebody happens to join up under your link and become a really good affiliate, that's nice too.
Of course, if we could recruit someone like you to be our second tier affiliate, that might be worthwhile.
Well, maybe.
But the point with affiliate programs, I guess when you're signing up to be an affiliate, does it ever cost you money to be an affiliate?
Good question, Heather. It shouldn't. There are programs out there that refer to themselves as affiliate programs. One that always crosses my mind is a program called SFI, Six Figure Income. They refer to their program as an affiliate program. It is not. It is clearly MLM or multi-level marketing. If that's your thing, that's cool. But you should never have to pay a monthly fee or an ongoing fee to join an affiliate program. That said, there are merchants out there, and particularly within the internet marketing category, I can think of a few, private label rights examples where you would not be allowed to promote your product unless you were an owner of the product. And I think that's pretty valid in some cases, because they want people who are familiar with the product and who do use the product to promote their product. Because in a lot of cases, people are just selling product without having ever looked at it. They're just saying, oh, the commission is so high, I'll just throw it out there and see if anybody bites. And, that can in fact ruin a merchant's reputation if there's just nothing but, shabby banners out there with no good endorsements or whatever. And not only that, but it has a detrimental effect on your conversion rate as well. You might be getting a whole lot of clicks, but unless that's accompanied by a fairly solid endorsement, it's unlikely that people will buy. However, if you've got a lot of people who are well-versed with the product and making good endorsements, your conversion rates are going to be really, really high, and that, in turn, you can sell that aspect of things to your customers and say, listen, this product converts at such and such a percentage. Right? It's huge. It makes it more valuable, more worthwhile.
So I guess one of the keys, whether you're putting banner ads on your website or whether you've got a blog and you're writing product reviews or whether your main aim is to get people onto your newsletter list so you can do follow-up cross-sells with them later, it all boils down to getting traffic to your website in the first place, or you're not going to have those people to market to. What are your favorite ways to get traffic to your site?
Well, that's why I've really honed in on the blogging thing, because I cannot believe how much traffic you can generate to a site quickly just by starting up a blog and by properly writing titles and writing blog posts that include specific keywords related to the topic that you're talking about. It boggles my mind. As a matter of fact, for this project, my friend and I started a travel blog just recently, and it was like almost within moments we had basically put this thing online, hadn't even really posted it to it, or hadn't really posted to it yet, and the good old Google bot came along and found us. We haven't talked about it, we haven't mentioned the name of it yet, and we'll not be doing so until our product is released. And yet we're getting actual visitors to the site. There has been no marketing for the site whatsoever. It's just a blog, and yet we've got traffic coming to it. So blogs via search engines is perhaps my favorite way to get traffic nowadays. And my other favorite way to get traffic is to take a quick search engine. It's just when you're running a static site that, with HTML pages and that sort of thing, it's immediate traffic and targeted traffic. So, say Google AdWords or whatever, if I'm in the dating service industry, if you're unfamiliar with PPC, it's keyword advertising, and whoever bids the highest comes to the top of the page in Google AdWords. And that's, I'll advertise under the term dating service or, friend finder, because that's a trademark name, but any keywords that's related to the dating service industry, and gobs traffic every single day, and it doesn't cost a whole lot. It's pennies in your, my return on investment is typically, $3 for every dollar I spend, and often much more.
When you're talking about keywords, I'm sure that there's some people listening who aren't exactly sure what you mean by a keyword or finding a good keyword to use on your blog or in pay-per-click. Where exactly do you find these keywords, and how do you know it's a good one?
Well, I like to use the software between my ears for that. And a lot of people invest a lot of money in software, the other kind of software, to try and create extensive keyword lists to submit to their advertising accounts at Google or Yahoo Search Marketing or Neva or whatever. But the best keywords are those that you generate when you sit down and you think about what it is that your customers really want. And so, I'm a bit of a sheep girl. So, and I want to know what the latest Stuart Weitzman boots are for fall. So that might be what I type into the search engine. Is Stuart Weitzman boots black, suede, right? Like as you're thinking about it. So what you're trying to do is get into your customer's head, and you'll generate keyword phrases instead of single words, instead of just shoes or boots. And how many people would actually just type boots into the Google search box? Not many. So you really that's the biggest difference, is that you want to really hone in on the market and the product.
When it comes to choosing a product to promote, I know that a lot of affiliates only want to market the high ticket items, so it's going to sell for a lot of money and they're going to get a big commission on it. But there's other people that focus on the smaller ticket items because they know that they can sell a higher volume of them, depending on your audience, of course, and your subscribers and what they're usually willing to buy. What do you think is the best balance to finding a product that is a good price point that's, you know, attractive to the buyer, but also has a good commission so you're earning something worthwhile?
Well, you said the word right there, balance. I think that you should all strive for a number of different ranges with a number of different commissions. I mean, I'll promote products for which I don't even earn a commission because I think it's, you know, I think it's a good product. I think it's something great, like talking about Perfect Keyboard Pro. I just think it's, you know, it's such a great product for anybody who's sitting at the computer all day long. I'll talk about that as well. And then, and you know, like tomorrow I'll turn around and I'll sell a $2,000 product for which I get a 50% commission. And so, you know, you want to do a variety. You don't want to do the same thing all the time. You don't want to be trying to sell your list, $1,000 products every day. You know, maybe there's a great little, $4.95 ebook on which you make $250 and you can sell, you know, 10,000 of those things to a list of 50,000 people or 20,000 people or even less, right? So it all balances out in the end. What you want to do is really think about what is it that I was promoting yesterday, and does that really tie in with, you know, what I want to promote today? Like, you should actually try to create a promotional schedule and make sure that there's some integrity there, right? You don't want to be doing a big or the same price point every day. And you also don't want to be marketing really, really different things to people from one day to the next.
Most of the affiliate programs that I see are pay-per-sale. How do those compare to pay-per-click or pay-per-lead?
Pay-per-lead has certainly gained a lot of interest from affiliates over the last year or so. It all depends on your audience. You'll make less money, but you'll have more interest in a pay-per-lead. Like, you might make 25 cents or 50 cents or, you know, $6 or up to $40 for an insurance lead. It really depends on your market. It really depends on your list. In the dating service category, I actually prefer the percentage sale. I find that because I do establish a relationship with my audience, because I've, you know, established that credibility with them, if I make a recommendation, they're more likely to buy the product. So I would prefer to make that 50% on $25 or $50 or $100, you know, and sell 100 of those than to push, you know, 250 people, through the site and for dollar sign up. You know, it just works out better that way in the end.
Now, a lot of affiliates complain of link theft or link hijacking, where another affiliate will steal their commission, or sometimes people just remove the affiliate link altogether and just go to the main website. What are some ways to prevent that so you actually get the commission for sales you refer?
That is really only a problem within the internet marketing category or any group of people that is actually savvy about affiliate links. In any other category, if you're selling beauty products, if you're selling baby products, if you're selling whatever, you know, you're doing DTC, business to consumer items, it's not really a concern. Now, what we would hope in most cases is that merchants would set up their web pages so that you can actually, you know, have your affiliate link and it'll go through and it will never show in the browser or in the address bar window, so that people can't strip it out. But by then, you know, the cookie is generally set and how many people will actually strip the cookies, and not only that, but you know what, for the number of people that would actually do it, I would never even really worry about it. I just figure they're bringing bad karma on themselves and they'll probably never make it as an affiliate anyway.
Right. Okay, tell everyone a little bit about the Super Affiliate Handbook, because I'll tell you one thing. When I was interviewing affiliate marketers for ClickBank Affiliate Confessions, you were one of the people I interviewed, but of all the other people that I interviewed, about 80% of them mentioned the Super Affiliate Handbook. And they mentioned it both as a resource that helps them learn how to become super affiliates themselves, and they also mentioned it as a great product to promote as an affiliate because it converts really well. So tonight we're going to let people know about the Super Affiliate Handbook because I really believe what those affiliates believe as well, that if you're going to get started in affiliate marketing online, it's really a must-read. So what will they learn if they decide to get your book?
Well, it's over 300 pages now, and it starts with stuff as simple as how to cut and paste. I don't teach people everything about HTML, but I do actually teach a whole lot more. Like, I teach much more than is would be necessary in a book on affiliate marketing. It covers the gamut. It talks about everything related to affiliate marketing, from step one to for beginners, it goes beginner, intermediate, advanced. I recently updated it. Actually, I think the last update was loaded in early October. Ignore what it says on the website. It probably says September. Yes, it's thorough, and not only that, but it, the biggest difference between it and what else is available on the market is that I talk about so many more different ways to market your site. Some people concentrate strictly on search engine marketing and how to get backlinks to your site, which is just, you know, bizarre to me because, I mean, if you're in business, people in business advertise and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money to advertise. There are, you know, good ways to do that. And it's cheap. It's $47 and I don't make you become, you know, like I wouldn't make you buy it to become an affiliate, but I prefer that you actually understand what's in the book before you do promote it. and it's been around for an awfully long time. It converts really well if you want to be my affiliate. Happy to have you on board.
Cool. So what we've done is set up a special deal. If they buy the Super Affiliate Handbook at $47, which is $50 off the price that you've got listed, $97, and it would be worth $97, but you're selling it for $47. If they go to marketingunwrapped.com/superaffiliate, if you buy the Super Affiliate Handbook through that link, not only do you get the Super Affiliate Handbook, which is a great deal in itself, but I'm also throwing in the interview that Rosalind and I did for Swiss Bank Affiliate Confessions, where we go deeper into affiliate marketing specifically through ClickBank, which is a lot of digital products, so ebooks, software, membership sites, and how to get a good affiliate commissioning happening specifically through ClickBank. So you get the interview and the transcript from ClickBank Affiliate Confessions. And I'm also throwing in Jimmy D. Brown's Affiliate Defender to cloak your link. So if you happen to decide that you want to work in the internet marketing field, like Rosalind mentioned, that's one of the few fields where people might steal your commission. It's a great idea to cloak your link, and Jimmy's software is what I use myself. It normally retails for about $40, and I'm throwing that in for free so you can cloak all your links when you start learning from Rosalind's book how to be a super affiliate. So again, that link is marketingunwrapped.com/superaffiliate.
And that is a really good deal, Heather, because that interview that you did with me was probably one of the best interviews next to this one. that I've ever experienced. You do your job very, very well. It's a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you, Rosalind. Now, I do want to open the floor for some questions because I'm sure that somebody must have a question for Rosalind. There's no hands up right now, but if you have a question for Rosalind, just press 1-1 on your keypad. She doesn't have a lot of time, but we have time to take a question about how to get started in affiliate marketing. Here's one right here. Hi there. You have a question for Rosalind?
Hi, my name's Jill.
Hi, Jill.
Hi. I'm in the process of putting together a website, like a craft instructional type website. And there's a particular product, when I put together my craft that I'm using, that is not the only product to use, but was the best product that I could find to use. And I had emailed them and I wanted to use them as an affiliate, but they don't currently have an affiliate program in place. They only let you buy their product to actually install it in, you know, for other people's, you know, in other people's homes and whatnot. How do I go about convincing them to become an affiliate, person?
How long have you been an affiliate marketer for? Like, how experienced are you as an affiliate marketer?
I'm not experienced at all. I'm in the process, basically, of putting together, just all the ideas and everything are coming together now for the website, and I've also been exploring, because of the particular craft that it is, you know, the different types of components that will be needed to complete the craft itself. So there's a lot of different elements, but one of the coolest elements of the thing that I'm putting together is kind of connected through this other site that only, like, I had to purchase the product from this other site myself to use it. And I really want to make mention of them, but I almost don't want to make mention of them if I can't kind of make some money off of them. So, I mean, is it to my benefit to mention them if I can't even add them as a, you know, as a link to where I can actually make something off of it too by promoting their product?
You know, not at this point. I would try to find another supplier because at this point it would be very difficult to convince them or to explain, you know, the whole concept of an affiliate program and what they've got to do to start up an affiliate program. And I mean, you can try, and actually in my book I do have a letter that, that outlines how you would do that, and show them all the different ways that they could go about setting up an affiliate program, whether they would go through a network or whether they would set up their own proprietary software and where they could get that software. But you know what? It takes a long time for even the most experienced, well, not for the most experienced people, but it does. It takes a while to set up an affiliate program properly. You want a company to do their research and really understand what it means to set up an affiliate program and so that they will do really good by their affiliates. So it would be probably more, it would certainly be more worthwhile to you and more expeditious at this point to try and seek out another, supplier for that particular product if that's at all possible.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do you have time for one more quick question, Rosalyn?
One more would be perfect.
One more, here we go. Hi there. What's your name?
Hi, this is Gigi. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Gigi, how are you?
Good, how are you? Yes, Rosalind, could you please explain to me what the difference is between a newsletter and a blog?
That's a good question. A blog is basically a content management system online. So basically you're just typing your content and, you know, as soon as you press publish, it's a published web page. A newsletter is usually delivered via an autoresponder service like Aweber or GetResponse. And so what you do is you take the content usually in text form submit it through their interface. It would look much like it would on, you know, when you were doing it on your blog. But the thing is when you press send, it goes to your newsletter subscribers. So it's basically two different methods of content delivery, and I highly recommend that you set both up. You know, you get your traffic, you get them to sign up for your newsletter, and one thing you can do is alert them to new blog posts through your newsletter, through your autoresponder. It just works like a charm.
Thank you so much. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much, Rosalyn, for being here with us tonight. I know you're in high demand and you have to go to Onyx Call now, too, but for being here today and talking with us about how to be a super affiliate, I really want to thank you for that. And anybody else listening in, grab the special deal, Super Affiliate Handbook, plus the interview and transcript from ClickBank Affiliate Confessions, plus Affiliate Defender to quote your link, all for $47, and you just go to marketingunwrapped.com/superaffiliate. Thank you, Rosalyn, so much.
Heather, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
And everybody else, come back next week. We've got Josh Anderson, who's going to teach you how to make products with video and audio. And until then, keep unwrapping your online success.